I want to take you into a story from Scripture. I want us to, most of you will know about the person I'm going to talk about, but I want you to try and pretend it's the first time you've heard it. I want you to see it with fresh eyes and fresh heart. And I want you to try and maybe smell smells and hear the noises and just step right into what God wants to show us in this story. It's one of my all-time favourites. It's from 1 and 2 Samuel. As we know, David and Jonathan were really, really close. They loved each other. And they met maybe when they're in their teen years, but in their 20s, something really special happened. This isn't even the story. This is the backstory. I'm going to be talking about Mephibosheth. So one day, David made a covenant with Jonathan that if anything was to happen to him, that he would look after his family. So out of kindness, he would make sure they were okay. Because if a king was and his family were killed, then anybody left in the family would also be killed. Like they would be wiped out and all their riches would be taken. And this very special time in Scripture where Jonathan was supposed to inherit the throne, but he saw in David that he was anointed to be king, and he accepted that. That's a really huge thing. And there's this moment where he handed over his cape and his ring, and the ring stood for the, you know, the seal, that meant that he was the son of a king and soon to be king. And he handed it over to David because he saw in him all that God was going to do in his life. What a humble, amazing thing that he was handing that over, and then asked if he would just look out for his family. Down the track, Saul and Jonathan both died in battle. Jonathan was killed in battle, Saul slaughtered himself. And so everybody left in that family would then be wiped out. At the very moment that the news came through that Jonathan was killed, he had a little boy who was 5 years old called Mephibosheth. Not an easy name. I call him Phoebe because I feel close to him. And he had a nurse looking after him. So she grabbed him up to run away because the army would be coming to the house. And in doing that, she dropped him and he broke both his legs. And they were never attended to. And so he grew up as a cripple. She raced off with him and hid in the desert in a place called Lodabar, which is probably the most forgotten place that you could think of, where no one really lived, and she just hid away with him. And he lived there for the rest of his days until this story. One day, David, who's, we're maybe 30 years down the track, David all of a sudden had a memory. And he said, I wonder if there's anyone left of Jonathan's family. I'll forgive him for this because he was busy. And he asked someone to make inquiries to find out if there was anybody left in Jonathan's family. And someone came back and said, yes, he had a boy. And he said, I want him to come here. I think of the situation. So David is as rich as anything. Like he not only got all of the riches of Saul's kingdom and belongings, he then conquered so many countries, and so all of those riches came to him. So he was probably, until Solomon, the richest guy around. And he says, I want to see this guy. I want to see Jonathan's son. And I want to read to you from 2 Samuel chapter 9 about when they met. So King David had him brought from Lodabar, from the house of Machir, son of whatever. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honour. Now, it wasn't just bowing. He actually lay prostrate on the floor before this king, amazed. Like, he's probably thinking, this is the end. This is what I've been expecting for years. They're going to do away with me and whoever is in my family. David said, and it says in all the versions I looked at, it just says Mephibosheth, and there's an exclamation mark. It's like, whoa, you're here. At your service, he replied. Don't be afraid, David said to him, for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan. And then he does this. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table. This king that doesn't have to do any of this is now offering this crippled man who would have had no belongings. He wasn't able to work. He was just in poverty. He's now saying, come and sup with me and my family. Be part of the family. And Mephibosheth's response is, he bowed down again. So he must have got up somehow and now he's back on the floor. And he said, what is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me? That's how low an opinion he had of himself. Then the king summoned Saul's steward. So his main servant had now become David's, but he's now going to give him a new job. And he said, I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. So every single thing that was part of that family was now given over to Mephibosheth. And he said, you and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and bring in the crops so that your master's grandson may be provided for. I mean, he was provided for more than enough, hey? And Mephibosheth, grandson of your master, will always eat at my table. And it has in brackets, now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. So Mephibosheth has gone from having, he had his own family, he had a son as well. And they lived in probably a little hut hidden away from everybody. And now look at what has been brought to him, a restoration that no one would ever have expected. Then Ziba said, your servant will do whatever my Lord has asked me to do. So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. And it says here, Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah, and all the members of Ziba's household were servants of Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table. And the very last sentence says, and he was lame in both feet. It's like an afterthought. It's like when you sup at a table, in those days your legs would be behind you. They weren't even noticed, you know, sitting around the table with the king. The part of him that was crippled wasn't noticed anymore. And there was no way that, well, in the words we read, where David went, oh, but you're crippled. He didn't see that. He saw, you're the son of my friend. You're the one I made a promise about and I finally am fulfilling that. Do you know KYB? Know your Bible? I was part of that at Hume Ridge Church, 28 years ago. And we had the beginning of a term where we were looking at just individual people in Scripture. And four of us had to act one of those people, and I picked Mephibosheth. So I don't know how I walked in. Anyway, and we had to dress up and I had to look poor and crippled. And I was having the shower beforehand, and you know how God meets, he tells you so much in the shower, doesn't he? Especially if you have a long one. I think I did this day. I woke up and I had a really sore wrist. It was really hurting. It wasn't hurting the day before. And I was washing my hair and I had to use one hand because this one hurt so much. And I was just thinking, oh, my goodness, it's like I'm a cripple. And then I went, and then I started to think about Mephibosheth. And, yes, he walked into the room with crippled legs, but I was, it's like God just visited me and showed me where I was crippled. It wasn't to do with my hand or my legs. I was crippled because I was a sinner. I was crippled because of the weight of the world that I'd carried. I'm a broken person, as we all are, so crippled, and yet the king has wanted me to step into his presence and join him. And so by the time I got to acting it out, I mean, I had to use a walking stick and look like I was crippled. By the time I got to the microphone, all I wanted to do was cry, because I felt like, even if it didn't touch them, God had a message for me, and I just I'm not talking for long this morning, but I want to remind us of what we have gained because of the King's interest in us. Because this is a story that is like Christ, isn't it? We, the crippled one, we, the one that so much in our life we've lived in the desert and we've lived without. And he would say your name with an exclamation mark. And he would be so excited that day that you decide to step into his presence and get to know him. And he wants to remind you that there's nothing about you that excludes you from being with him at the table. And he has given us riches far beyond anything we deserve, anything we ever expected, even on our good day when we think we're wonderful. And he is saying, I want you always to sup with me. I want you to sit at my table. I want you to be part of my family. When I became a Christian at 16 in the 70s, in the Jesus Revolution age, they would talk about being part of his forever family. And I sat on the steps at this building looking at the stars in the sky, and we just sung that song, In the Stars His Handiwork, I see some of you would know it. And I realised that I'd just stepped into the foreverness of his family. That's us. We can enjoy his presence at any time because it said that Mephibosheth now moved to Jerusalem. So we've stepped into a new kingdom. And because he always ate at the table. There is nothing that's stopping us from always being in the presence of our God as he embraces us at the table, as he embraces us as we step through each of our days. He's enjoying the riches he's giving us and our presence. And we're in that special room of enjoying him at the table, hey? No matter what we do, no matter how hard our days are. And I found it's been quite a struggle just the last month especially. While I don't feel well, I haven't been going out as much, and so I'm living in a house where I don't have my husband. And just a few months ago my sister died, and I remember days when you guys would pray for my sister. She also died of cancer, and so my two go-to people apart from my children are gone. And so there's a real loneliness as far as being on my own in an empty house. But also when you're not well and you feel like you're not as capable, that makes the loneliness even worse. And so being here today has just met all my needs of connection, and I thank you for that. But but greater than that is the connection that we can have, because always the King's presence never goes away. No matter how we're feeling, no matter if we can go out or not, or whether people who we've loved have left us through death or because they've just left, he's never left us. And he says, you are always welcome. I heard this morning that the old name of this place was Welcome In. And I feel like where we live now, whatever kind of situation we're in, a house or a flat or a retirement village, that it's a Welcome In because he's present there. The warmth of a home with God in it. I need to recognise that because in the beginning I kind of rejected that I had to move into another house. We used to live out at Top Camp. I've moved into town. And Ross has never lived there, so I fought that for a while. But now I'm willing to say, okay, this is my home. I want it to be a sanctuary for others, but I think I also need to allow it to be a sanctuary for me, which I probably wasn't doing. And so when I think of Mephibosheth, this beautiful, humble man who thought he was a dead dog, and there are days when we feel like that too, isn't it? God says, no, you're not. You're a guest, you're part of my family, you sit at the table with me. And we all need to be reminded of this. As we enjoy the kingdom and all the riches of a relationship with our King. Bless you, dears. Let me pray. Father, I want to thank you that even though there wasn't a lot of time spent on this, I believe you want to spend time making this resonate in our heart. That the days when we feel crippled, when we feel limited, when we feel broken, you're saying, I don't see that. You're my special person that is going to sup with me. I want you to be in my presence. I want to say your name with an exclamation mark because I'm excited that you're here. Thank you that you love us that much, that you've enriched our lives to a place where we can't even describe it, but we're in your presence and we can face anything because we're with you. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen.